It's Wednesday, July 6, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Turn it up! Turn it up!
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
All right. It is Wednesday, July 6, 2005. 2 days after the 4th of July, which I've posted photos of on Flickr. Took some pictures of the fireworks. And, of course, they're with my camera phone, so I did all I could to touch them up in iPhoto. But, really, you can't do that much with camera phone photos. So, if you want to check them out, see how my 4th of July went, they're at flickr.com/photos/everythingdigital. And they're sporting a new geotag system. It's something I just really learned about, is geotagging photos on Flickr. I put up a link to an article, a great article, by Philip Tyrone of Make Magazine. Put up a link to that on the website on everythingdigital.org. And I've been using this method lately. It's a method of tagging photos with longitude and latitude and then putting those photos on Flickr. And then you use a service called Mapper to actually put those photos on a map for you. So it's pretty cool. And then there's actually ways to import that into Google Earth, which we'll talk about later on the show. If you are on a Windows, sadly, not available for the Mac, though. So sad. Anyway, let's go ahead into those five-second news headlines. Let me just tell you, this intro music is from the Billy Jackson Band. This is Blood and Gold. China has added its support to the international fight against spam by signing the London Action Plan on Spam Enforcement Collaboration. A Google engineer has announced via Mozilla's website that a Google toolbar for Firefox can be expected in the near future. Calypso Wireless recently demonstrated its C1250i Wi-Fi GSM GPRS Voice over IP phone, a hybrid handset that provides constant Voice over IP connectivity. And Mozilla has said that its Firefox browser has been successfully prepared to work with Apple's new lineup of Intel-based Macs. And ATI has introduced the All-in-Wonder X800XL PCI Express, a new graphics card that incorporates a built-in TV tuner and costs $399. Those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right, so first up, we're going to talk about Google Earth. It's a new service from Google, and it is a free service. And it is supposed to be really incredible. I've seen screenshots. I've seen demonstrations of it working. I've never actually been able to use it myself because it doesn't work on Mac. Google is saying that Mac support is coming. We don't know quite yet how soon that's going to be, but if they've got their best engineers working on it, we know it can't be too long from now. Google Earth is a new service with free access to 3D building and terrain maps, as well as satellite imagery, similar to Google Maps service, but a little bit more enhanced. It's got a lot more features, enhanced viewing capabilities, better visualization techniques, things like that. And of course, it's all a standalone application, so you're not relying on really handy creative JavaScripts on Google's part. You're just relying on a standalone application, which is obviously much more stable, usually runs a lot easier and quicker, should be definitely a much better in contrast to Google Maps. Although Google Maps is pretty impressive for a web-based application, and it's all us Mac users have to go on right now. So it works. It is based, the Google Earth is based on Google's Keyhole technology, which they bought from a company called Keyhole, and then incorporated into their lineup of products. Keyhole is actually a subscription service, and so is Google Earth if you want to pay. It has pro versions of it that you can pay a monthly fee for. But Keyhole is actually a subscription service, and that's been around for a while now. And that has similar features. That, again, is a little more enhanced than Google Earth. So you've got Google Maps, and then Google Earth, and then Keyhole, which is the top of the line more for like professionals and news agencies if they want to do panning across the country they're talking about or whatever. So as I said, it's currently only for Windows, the Google Earth, and they are working on Mac support. As far as the features that Google lists for it, the most interesting are an integrated version of the Google Local Search, video playback of driving directions, and an easy and collaborative method for users to share annotations. So that means people can leave notes in places across the earth, and other people can receive them just, you know, by looking at that place. And that's part of how this geotagging photos and incorporating that into a Google map actually works. It will put the photos in different places, and you can zoom in and see them right there. So that's kind of the way annotations work. So this goes along with Google also opening up their Google Maps service to people making their own versions, making annotations, you know, little hacks that people are doing now once Google Maps API was released. So it's kind of that same thing. It uses, I believe, a KML format to do sort of localized text-based or image-based points across the globe. So it's a pretty full-featured program, and the interesting part is it's completely free unless you want the pro version. earth.google.com, and there is a link in the show notes. All right, so moving on to some iPod news here. The iPod and iPod photo lines are merging. This is some news that came across last week, but I didn't have time to fit into the show since I was talking about the whole iTunes release. So I figured enough Apple news on the last show, I just delayed this to this show. But the iPod Photo is no more. Now all the standard white iPods and U2 Special Edition iPods have color screens. And of course, they also have the photo viewing functionality that comes along with the iPod Photo. So the models are priced at, for the 20GB, it holds 5,000 songs, it is at $299. And for the 60GB, which holds 15,000 songs, it is $399. Also, the U2 Special Edition, the price has been dropped on that slightly. It is now at $329. And in the new software update to those iPods, and coming on all new iPods, there will be additional podcast functionality, which we saw along with the release of iTunes 4.9, and that allows for bookmarkable shows and podcast album art. Also, Apple updated the 1GB iPod Shuffle, bringing the price down to $129. So I guess they weren't quite selling as many of the high-end iPod Shuffles as they wanted to. So obviously dropping the price point there will help sales. A little bit more of iTunes iPod news here. Not actually iPod, more iTunes. This is the Motorola iTunes phone. It's been confirmed what type of phone it's actually going to be. Got a hold of some pics of the demo models that are being sent out. And turns out it's a white Motorola E790 phone, and has the iTunes mobile software installed right there. The pics are available via Engadget, as I said. There is a link in the show notes. And it apparently synchronizes with iTunes 4.9 using the same autofill options as the iPod Shuffle. It's tentatively shipping with a 128 megabyte transflash card for song storage and is described as sounding, quote, as good as a regular iPod. So should be interesting there. Definitely something that's been expected for quite a while, and we finally got some pictures of it. So go ahead into the show notes. There's a link to Engadget. You can see the pics yourself and see how good it looks. The phone is just, you know, really a typical brick phone. As I've said on previous episodes discussing when it was in planning, it does have a neat little iPod interface. So it looks almost like a regular iPod. Of course, it's got a color screen, so it looked more like the new color iPods that are coming out right now. So that should be expected pretty soon, now that we've got some demo models out, some carriers, as mentioned on last show, including Singular, apparently looking at the phone, and we're hoping that those carriers are actually going to start introducing it into their lineup. So, got some non-RIAA music for you here, pod-safe music, however you want to call it. This is from Retrograde on GarageBand.com. This is It's Over Now. All right, and that's It's Over Now from Retrograde. So, if you didn't see it either on the news or on NASA's website or on NASA TV, if you get that, the Deep Impact mission to Comet Tempel 1 to actually smash a probe or an impactor into the comet did succeed and raised a larger dust cloud than expected, so large, in fact, that scientists were actually not able to see the crater that they were expecting to see and the crater that they were hoping to base a lot of their findings on. Based on the size of the crater and how the impact affected it. So, unfortunately, they were not able to actually see the crater the impactor made. Fortunately, there was some sort of special reaction or something that caused a greater explosion than was originally predicted, which means that it was possibly visible with the naked eye. And I didn't see it myself, and I think most people were just expecting to see it in telescopes. But there are pictures up on everythingdigital.org from the little craft that followed the impactor, and pretty amazing pictures. It's funny that those were actually posted almost live, just a couple minutes after the actual impact. I was watching the stream of NASA TV on the internet as it was happening, and very cool stuff that that they're doing with that, and the findings from it, the photos from it, all pretty amazing, especially for something so simple as smashing a craft into a comet. Although when you think about it, it's not that simple. So a successful mission there. Congratulations, NASA. Now we got to see what they can make of the findings. All right, so Adobe is warning of a new security flaw in their Reader software. According to a security firm, the flaw could be used to gain control of a user's computer and affects Adobe Reader versions 5.0.9 and 5.0.10. A hacker could potentially take advantage of the flaw by sending malicious PDFs, a file format usually considered fairly safe as far as an email attachment. So they could send these via email, and unsuspecting users could open them, thinking they were office documents or personal documents or things that they would actually want to open and think it's safe to open. And meanwhile, they could contain these this malicious software. Anyway, Adobe has made a fix available on its site, adobe.com, and they have an updated version of Reader available with the fix. So no problem there, just update and you should be fine. LG is going to use the Palm OS for its new smartphones. LG Electronics says it will use a version of PalmSource's Palm OS, possibly using a Linux base, because we know there's a new version of the Palm OS that is supposed to be using the using Linux, and that is currently under development. So it is definitely predicted that by the time the new LG smartphones with the Palm OS start coming out, there's a definite possibility that they could be Linux-based. And, of course, one more thing that's Linux-based just means more modding and hacking and all that good stuff is available there. So that's good. It's definitely a chance for PalmSource to expand into areas besides the traditional unconnected PDA, you know, where the killer app is basically the date book. And those have definitely fallen as far as sales and are really not successful anymore, or at least not as successful as they were when they were originally introduced. Now, I believe the killer app as far as a PDA is a web browser, Wi-Fi access or access via some data network is the killer app. You've got to have that, or that really makes the PDA. So without that, I don't think it's that functional. It used to be that they were just considered, you know, planners and a way to manage your contacts, but really, I think, you know, we're beyond that now because you can do that on your regular phone. So it should be interesting to see PalmSource expanding into different areas. And hopefully they can recover some of the lost ground that Pocket PC and Windows Mobile have really taken over in the past few years. So I'm rooting for PalmSource on this one. I've always been a fan of Palm PDAs, no matter how unsuccessful they've gotten. Anyway, the everythingdigital.org site feed, I've made a couple modifications to it, so now it works as a podcast feed. So you can go to everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml, and you can subscribe to both the news posts that I put on the site and the podcasts that I link to on the site. And those, I actually, whenever I do a podcast, in addition to making a reference to it in the standard everythingdigital.org/rss.xml feed, I also included an MP3 link in the post, and now I've downloaded a new plugin where it takes that link in the post, it checks it for a file behind that, and then it automatically creates an enclosure element into the post for that entry on the weblog. So if you have a hybrid program like iPod or X or something that can both read the text news feeds and download the podcasts, you may want to check out everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml as your Everything Digital feed from now on. The only problem is it only keeps the last few podcasts, so it won't have, I believe I keep, probably maybe 20 or so podcasts in the regular feed. But if you don't mind just having a few available at any given time, then this could be a good solution for hybrid RSS and enclosure RSS reading. All right, so that's all I got for today. This is some non-RIAA PodSafe music to close it out here. This is from Viseca Pisces. This is Sahara Winds. So running through the information here, you can post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast feed at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. You can email me, alan@everythingdigital.org, if you want to contact me personally. You can also Skype me. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. Or you can AOL Instant Messenger IM me. My screen name there is Podcaster. You can also call the newly re-registered 206-9-THE-EDP, 206-984-3337, and leave an audio comment. I actually had to re-register that because it ran out on its time limit. It only keeps the number for so long. And then if there aren't any calls for a certain amount of time, then it cancels the number. So I went ahead and re-registered that. No problems there. Should be good if you want to call. Also, the $5 a show or $5 for one show sponsorship offer still remains as always. Still haven't gotten any response on that. I know I have an audience that, you know, is really just here to listen, even though there are, from my logs anyway, quite a few of you. But if anybody out there is interested in sponsoring the show, it is $5. There's sort of an auction type format. Whoever has the highest bid by the next show gets the sponsorship. Anyway, that's all for today. Thanks for listening and stay subscribed.